This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome to A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk with Reverend Jennifer Hadley. Get ready to focus on your intent to be the love, be the peace through practical application. Here is your host, Reverend Jennifer Hadley.
Bonjour, bonjour. Oh, my friend, my dear, dear friend. Oh, I am grateful on this sunny, cold spring day. We just got a foot of snow a couple days ago, and actually I'm loving it. The sun on the snow is so beautiful. And that's life here in the Green Mountains of Vermont in early spring, late March. And I am grateful to share this vibration of wholeness that I feel resounding throughout this valley here. So grateful. Well, let's begin with a blessing and a prayer. I place my hand on my heart and I invite you to do the same. Let's take that breath of love and gratitude and wholeheartedly tune up. We're offering up resistance, reluctance. We're offering up grievances and grudges. We're offering up anything that is a block to love in our heart, in our mind, in our conversations and activities, our communications. We are grateful to truly live a life of love and to be empowered to share love, share wisdom, share clarity, and to be the very life of God. This is what I know. We are grateful to let the past dissolve and resolve permanently back to the nothingness from which it seems to have arisen. We are grateful to recalibrate right here and right now to the truth. We let it be, and so it is. Amen. 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 Yes, that feels so good. All right, let's dive in here. We're looking at lesson 128 today. That's what I was guided for us. And lesson 128 is in part one of the workbook, The World I See Holds Nothing That I Want. The world I see holds nothing that I want. I just today published one of my daily shots of spiritual espresso on this as well. So today is March 26, 2024. You can go find that in the archive if you're listening to this later. And I publish a blog every day with a prayer, pre-recorded prayer. So the world I see holds nothing that I want. It begins with, the world you see holds nothing that you need to offer you. Kind of an awkward sentence if you ask me. So the world that you see or that you think you see has nothing to offer us that we want. The way we look at the world, how we view it, how we interpret it, the meaning that we make of it. Remember, everything is symbolic. All of that holds nothing that's of value to us. That's a big leap. That's a big leap for us to just accept that. Oh, okay, so I'm going to let it all go. Not so easy to do. But let's see what help we have here. The world you see holds nothing that you need to offer you. So it has nothing to offer us that we need. Nothing that you can use in any way, nor anything at all that serves to give you joy. Now, I have found that to be true. I remember years ago, a number of my friends were saying how they loved the teachings of that declutter, tidy person, Maria Kondo, I think is her name, very popular. And a friend described to me, well, this is what you do. You take your things, you hold them, and you just say, does this bring me joy? If it doesn't bring you joy, get rid of it. And I thought, I would have to get rid of almost everything in my house because joy doesn't come from the things. It comes from knowing myself as God in a world that is perfectly set to help me wake up from the dream of separation. So as I'm looking around my den where I am right now, and I'm also looking out at the mountain and the forest and the bird feeders on the deck and all of these things. Well, do the birds, I love to watch the birds, my cat Sattva and I, and Bodhi too, my dog, the three of us, we like to watch the birds. They're very entertaining. We have pretty little yellow birds and lots of finches. We get blue jays. We get cardinals, hummingbirds in the summertime. And we love to watch the birds. But do they bring us joy? No, but it's recognizing the love of God is animated in us when we're watching the birds with love. Love for these little creatures. When we're extending love, when I'm extending love, I feel that joy. And I can feel the joy and extend the love without, I could do it in a completely dark, locked room. I don't need other critters and creatures to be around. But just looking around, I've got beautiful flowering plants all over the place here from just, you know, like here's an amaryllis coming into bloom. I love flowering plants. I love lots of plants around me. And do they bring me joy? I don't think that they do, but I am reminded of the love of God and the beauty of God, and the peace of God, and the joy of God, these spiritual qualities, when I view them. I can view them in my mind. In fact, that's what we're doing. We're viewing it in our mind anyway, because it's an illusion, it's a projection. So I don't need any of these things, and the things do not bring me joy. But things remind me of the truth that God is beautiful, that God is peaceful and harmonious. And I can be too when I remember myself as God. You know, I put birds in the back of my podcast precisely because they remind me of the perfection and the beauty that's in the world. And the sound of the birds to me is a healing sound. In case you've ever wondered about that, nobody's ever brought it up to me. So anyway, so nothing at all serves to bring you joy. Believe this thought and you are saved from years of misery, from countless disappointments, and from hopes that turn to bitter ashes of despair. So Just remember, the people in this world are not going to bring you joy and they're not going to bring you sorrow. They're not. But your thoughts about them will. Your thoughts about them will bring you happiness or despair. But the joy, and I think this is an important distinction. I've talked about it a bunch of times. I think it's an important distinction, joy versus happiness. And A Course in Miracles doesn't make a distinction. Ernest Holmes did in the teachings of the Science of Mind that joy is a constant spiritual quality of God, like peace, like harmony, like beauty, like freedom, like wholeness, that is omnipresent, omniactive, omnipotent. And for me, that awareness and the willingness to accept that fundamental truth has been deeply healing and nourishing to me. And he describes happiness as something that's conditional. It comes and goes. Right? I'm happy when I see the birds. Yes, the birds can make me feel happy. Yes, the plants, the flowers, they can make me feel happy. The beauty of the snow on the mountain and in the yard and all of this, playing with my cat and my dog, these things can make me happy. But joy is my natural state. It's unconditional. Happiness is conditional. Joy is unconditional. That's the way I've come to view it. A Course in Miracles doesn't really make that distinction, but it might. It might. I always remember that I'm interpreting, of course. That's what I'm doing. I'm sharing this with you and sharing what I understand about it and how I apply it. And that is constantly being up-leveled. Every day, my awareness increases, and I have realizations of truth that forever expand my awareness. And that brings me joy, believe me. It literally unleashes more connection to the spiritual qualities that are our true identity. And so, naturally, more joy comes from more acceptance of the truth, more willingness to know and remember the truth. So, believing that the world holds nothing that I want, it's hard to believe that it could bring you joy and not despair, but it does. And here's why. One of the most helpful realizations I've had, and I talk about this frequently, so you may have heard this before, but it's so vital to get this. At least it has been for me. It's been really deeply healing to my mind that we are trained in this world from the time we're a child and from all past incarnations, we are trained to constantly be wanting. In fact, there are many, many spiritual teachers who are teaching that you've got to want it and that the wanting will bring it to you. And there's no question that that is true, but what we're doing then is we're saying that what we want is in the world versus what we desire is to know God as us, in us, and in our brothers and sisters. So, the true fulfillment and the true satisfaction, the deep sense of overflow, well beyond sufficiency, comes from recognizing we're one with God, one with each other, and that our source is unlimited. Nothing is being withheld from us. moving into that space of consciousness, that awakened awareness of truth is what it is, that it gives you a continuous sense of fulfillment and a complete and total end of wanting. It's a sense of having. Now, A Course in Miracles tells us that we are the kingdom of heaven. So not just that, seek first the kingdom, which is within, and all else will be added unto you. Yes, and we are the kingdom of heaven. So it's just another way of saying the same thing. Seek first the kingdom of heaven within, and all else will be added unto you. Same thing as the unlimited kingdom of heaven is what you are. You already are that. So you don't have to seek and you don't have to get it. You just have to be willing to look for it, which I know, seek, but look for it where it can be found, which is within you, within your own awareness, within your own heart and mind. That's where it can be found, because that's where it is. Look where things can be found. If we're looking outside of ourselves into the world of illusions, we're not going to find it. All we can hope to do is find that temporary satisfaction that comes from believing that you have what you want. So I give examples like, if you have this deep sense of yearning, I'll just speak about myself. I would like to own my own home so that I can fix it up and change it to my particular style and taste. And I'm not able to do that because I'm a renter. So I would like to be able to do that. Do I have a deep sense of longing? I don't. But that's on my list of things I'd like to do. I don't have a lot of things on my list of that I'd like to do in this world. I just like to spend time with my friends and my family and teach and teach and teach and share and share and share and share and share. It's why I'm so prolific. When I talk with other spiritual teachers and they're like, oh, I've got a class this week. It's like, oh, I've got six. It's only because this is my happy place to be able to share. And I love to be able to share live on Zoom with people and interact, answer questions, have dialogues. I love to do retreats and in-person events. Like I have some of my friends that are like, oh, I'm done doing in-person events now. I just want to teach on Zoom now. Totally get it. I'd much rather never leave my home. If I could live at a retreat center, that would be the ideal, to have my house on a property that's a retreat center, and I could just teach every day live with people and live stream it on Zoom. That would be the ideal. So I actually never thought of that before. And so, okay, that feels like my happiest place. So maybe the world will arrange that for us. And but I'm not left wanting, like, oh, if only I had that, I could be happy. No, I don't feel that way. There are a few other things in my life that I would like to experience and have as part of my life. I would like to be closer to my family and to some of my closest friends, but that's not how it is right now. And I'd like to have a life partner, a man in my life, and that's not happening right this minute. But I don't feel a sense of lack. I don't feel deprived, and I don't feel unhappy. I feel fulfilled by the love of God and being able to live as I live, which I really enjoy. I enjoy all the teaching. I enjoy my home that I'm renting, et cetera, et cetera. The happiness that I experience is because I am not wanting anything. The peaceful, daily, happy experience is because I am not wanting anything. So there's this idea that, oh gosh, if I had my own home, if I had that car I really love, if I could go on that vacation, if I had that job, then I'd really be happy. But that is an illusion. And we start to experience moments where we're unconditionally loving someone. Could be ourselves, could be our cat, could be a friend, it could be somebody that you don't like very much, but you recognize you love them. You don't like their personality, but you love them. You love them. You know that you love them. You can feel that you love them. And love only comes in one flavor. It's unconditional. And that's where the joy is, from not wanting, but recognizing the having, that the kingdom of heaven is where I am. And I can choose to live in that place, from that space, or not. That is a choice I can make. So we have been trained in this world since we were children to want, especially those who grew up watching television and the constant stream of commercials and the selling, that this is what's going to make us happy, this is what's going to make us feel good. If our teeth are just whiter, if our abs are just tighter, all these things are going to make us feel good about ourselves, and then we're going to be happy, because then we'll be able to attract the mate, then we'll feel free. You know, when the kitchen is sparkling clean, I will feel free. Well, the sparkling clean kitchen lasts for a minute, right? If you live with people, it lasts for a minute. So if your happiness and your joy comes from everything is clean, forget about it. But when your joy comes from everything is God, because God is all there is, then there can be an underlying unconditional joy. I have talked about it many times that when my mom was so sick and really in making her transition in hospice, and I was a full-time caregiver along with my dad, and we were up in the family home in Maine where they lived at that time, the house they built on Deer Isle. And and it was winter. Even though what was happening with my mother's body was literally horrific, and my father was so stressed, understandably, I discovered this wellspring of joy that was not conditional. I realized, oh, happiness is fleeting. It comes and goes. You know, the pizza's here. There's a whole nother container of ice cream. Oh, yes, look at that beautiful sunset. The happiness is conditional, but the joy is always there. If we're looking for the world to bring us joy and happiness, we are going to live in a roller coaster. And that's what we're trained to do. That if we're not happy because of what's happening in the world, we're not doing it right. So for me, I began to feel suicidal in my 20s because I had gotten everything I wanted and I wasn't happy. And I really just started to think, I don't know how to be happy in this world. I'm miserable in this world and I have everything I wanted. You know, I had the apartment I wanted. I had the job I wanted. I had all these things that I thought I wanted, but they didn't make me happy. And if they couldn't make me happy, after finally getting them, after so many years of wanting them, oh no, there is no happiness in this world. And at that time, I was devastated. That's why I wanted to kill myself. But now I can see that was one of the best things that could ever happen to me, because I got to give up that kind of wanting, craving, needing, and thinking that the world could make me happy, when it can't, and it won't, and it don't. Oh my goodness. Well, what a perfect time for the break to appear. I'm going to take a short break here, and just let you know, we are planning, we're working to offer the podcast commercial free, and I'll be telling you about that soon. Stay tuned, I'll be right back.
Thank you for tuning in for A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk.
Oh, welcome back. So we're talking about the world I see holds nothing that I want. Lesson 128. And to finish out paragraph one here, no one but must accept this thought as true if he would leave the world behind and soar beyond its pretty scope and little ways. So if you would like to move past this idea of thinking that, you know, the world's going to make me happy, you have to accept the world holds nothing that I want. So let's dive deeper into that. What I shared before the break, I think, is very, it was a seminal shift in my consciousness, in my mind, for which I'll always be grateful. And it was the deepest despair of my life. My ego was crashing because I was recognizing that I did not have mentally and emotionally what it took to be happy in this world. Because I really was absolutely convinced that the things of this world are what's going to make me happy. And when they didn't, I didn't have any way to find happiness within myself. So I thought. So what I went into suicidal thought, and I decided I wasn't going to kill myself, and I was just in despair. And it was just the early days of the year, so it was winter. I was living in Manhattan, and I got fired from my job. And I was just in despair. Fortunately, my previous job took me back right away. They were so happy. Well, like, oh my God, we'd love to have you back. So that was great. And I survived in part by just numbing myself after work with alcohol and just trying to sleep and retreat. I felt deeply ashamed for having been fired, and I couldn't even tell my closest friends. It was a really dark time for me. But the lesson that I learned was don't look outside yourself anymore. Start to look within. So I began to make a shift to loving myself. Yeah. So I discovered this deep well of self-hatred, and I started to remedy that. It didn't start immediately, and it wasn't joyous at all. Far from it. But I was pointed in the right direction now. I started to turn, began to make little shifts and turns away from focusing on the darkness to focusing on the light. And that began to make a real substantial difference. That was when I began to move towards spirituality as perhaps the cure. And many of us, we come to spirituality from a place of despair and darkness and hopelessness. And we have this little inkling that spirituality might hold what we're looking for. And of course, it does. So let's look back here at lesson 128. Each thing you value here is but a chain that binds you to the world, and it will serve no other end but this. For everything must serve the purpose you have given it, until you see a different purpose there. The only purpose worthy of your mind this world contains is that you pass it by, without delaying, to perceive some hope where there is none. Be you deceived no more. The world you see holds nothing that you want. Now, like I say, this is a big ask here that A Course in Miracles is offering us. And the way I've learned to live with these big asks from spiritual teachings is I just say, okay, I'm accepting this as the truth. So moving beyond believing it's the truth to accepting it as the truth. So I'm going to act as if this is the truth. I am willing to accept this as the truth. Now, I may not really get it. Like when I first came to this, I didn't really get it, but I was willing to get it. And I went to my teacher, the knower who knows, that higher Holy Spirit self, and the company of heaven, which to me is the archangels, Jesus, Mother Mary, all the ascended masters, all these beings of light, visible and invisible, because I have also had visible teachers, as we all have. And as I say every day in my yoga class, everyone's our teacher, and the guru is within. So all the teachers, I'm accepting all the teachings of the teachers, visible and invisible, opening my heart to the teachings of truth. That's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in having a happier dream. I am interested in the truth, living an awakened life. And there is the illusion that living an awakened life would be deprivation, because we think and believe that we cannot be happy unless we have the things that will make us happy. But I know, because I've experienced it, that I can be very happy living in a tent. Now, do I want to live in a tent all the time? I do not. But I used to come to where I am in Vermont, and I've done many a podcast episode from my tent in Vermont for years. So, because this podcast started in September 2011, and I think my first episode was with Gary Renard. My second episode was with Ken Wapnick. So I started back then, and 2012, 13, not 14, but 2015, all those years, 2016, 2017, 2018, I was camping for a long time in the Green Mountains of Vermont here in Lincoln, where I live now and rent this house. And so, and I had a tent. I'm sure I talked about it a lot then. And if you've listened to those old episodes, you know, because there's more than 600 episodes here. And thank God they're all in one podcast now. Apple changed their rules for all of our Apple users. Anyway, and I had a sleep tent, a 10-person tent, and with a big, you know, with a full-size bed in it. Sometimes it was a blow-up bed. Sometimes it was a futon bed. And because I'd be there sometimes for months and camping. And I did have a community building where I could use the kitchen and things like that, and bathrooms with showers. So I had those facilities. I wasn't bathing in the creek or cooking over a fire. I wasn't doing those things. So some would say I was glamping, but believe me, it wasn't glamorous. But I was so happy in that. Just as I'm so happy, I'm not happier here or happier there, but I do like being able to take a bath. I like the niceties of life. But what's most important to me is maintaining an ever-increasing sense of peace and harmony and the capacity, ever-increasing capacity, to love without conditions. This is what my life is for. This is what my life is about. And I am sharing with you now from that overflow. And when I started this journey from that place of, I want to kill myself, I had to realize, I mean, the quicker I could hit the bottom of wanting to kill myself, then, and hitting the bottom, you know, falling on your face egoically, feeling deeply ashamed, which is what I did. I felt so ashamed for having been fired. And I just wanted to kill myself because I felt like I was worthless. I felt unlovable, all of that. I hit bottom hard and I got a bounce off of it. And that's what we can do. But that bounce, it entirely comes from a willingness to recognize joy is our natural state. Happiness is conditional. And to realize that the things of this world can give us fleeting happiness, but there's so much more. And the joy is so much more. The only purpose worthy of your mind this world contains is that you pass it by without delaying to perceive some hope where there is none. So that experience of feeling suicidal, I believe I was 26, 27 years old when that happened. So grateful for it now, even though at the time it was searingly painful because the deep humiliation, the deep shame, the sense of complete and utter worthlessness was so intense, as it is for everyone who has those kinds of experiences. Now I really see it was so helpful. I think of my dear, dear friend, Kieran J. Gardner, who is a Course in Miracles teacher. We frequently sponsor her classes at the Power of Love Ministry. She's had some laryngitis, so her latest class has been delayed to, I think it's May fourth or sixth. And she does these deep dives into a practical application of A Course in Miracles. The next one is called Our Only Home or something like that. Sorry. Anyway, I have a couple episodes with her in 2019 where I was interviewing her about her experience, which was that for years, and I do mean years, like a half a dozen years, she was incapacitated. And by incapacitated, at the height of it, for a couple of years, she literally could not speak. She could click her tongue once for yes, twice for no, something like that. She couldn't see. She was blind. And she couldn't speak. And she couldn't move her arms and legs. She was immobile. Unable to speak, unable to see, and immobile. That's how extreme that was for a couple of years. And prior to that was the downhill into that. And what got her out of it? Forgiveness. So I did two episodes in the summer of 2019, summer and fall of 2019, where I got her to talk about that for us. And I encourage you to go and listen to those. Kiran J. Gardner, K-I-R-O-N-J. Be you deceived no more. The world you see holds nothing that you want. Escape today the chains you place upon your mind when you perceive salvation here. By the way, Kiran J. Gardner is in her 60s, and in the last 2 years, she's become a ski instructor. She's a part-time ski instructor and a part-time Course in Miracles teacher. Yes, she is a ski instructor. So she has recovered so beautifully her physical abilities. And she's just a fabulous Course in Miracles teacher. For what you value, you make part of you as you perceive yourself. What you value in the world, you make a part of you as you perceive yourself. So one of the big crashing things that happens to people all the time is they lose something. Their house burns down. They get fired from their job. They get divorced. Their spouse dies suddenly. Their child dies. And now their identity is deeply threatened. And they are thrown completely off center. What you value, you make part of you as you perceive yourself. So we perceive ourselves as a homeowner, a dog owner, a cat owner, or cat lover, however we want to phrase it. We perceive ourselves as, I'm an athlete. Oh, now I can't use my body. Uh-oh, what happens? We perceive ourselves as, I'm a teacher, but oh, now I can't teach anymore because I've lost my voice. I am a mother, but my child has died. Am I still a mother? Of course you are. But the way you see yourself and perceive yourself is going to change when you have that kind of loss. It's devastating to the ego. And it's impossible to believe that it could be for our good. Everything works together for good. It doesn't mean everything is intended as good. When someone rapes a child, it's not intended as good. It's not. When someone vandalizes your home, it's not intended as good. But if you are willing, the grace of God will show you the good that is in it for you. So for me, that time I was fired, it was so devastating and humiliating to me. And I've been fired a few times, and they were all devastating, and, well, not devastating, but that one in my 20s was devastating. And every time I've been fired, it was humiliating. But right now, I don't think I could be humiliated by that. And of course, who's going to fire me? I do run the Power of Love Ministry, our new website, powerofloveministry.net. So if you go to the old jenniferhadley.com, it's going to take you to powerofloveministry.net. I run it, and it's unlikely that I would be fired. So I've built it in, but I have had experiences where years ago, a decade ago, things kind of fell apart for a while, and I just said to God, okay, this is your ministry. Holy Spirit, higher self, this is your ministry. It's not the ministry of my personality. It's the ministry of pure spirit. So if I am led, guided, and directed to shut it down and to go do something else, whatever that might be, I will do that because I know my happiness is in following my inspiration, my guidance, my intuition. Escape today the chains you place on your mind when you perceive salvation here in the world. For what you value, you make part of you as you perceive yourself. All things you seek to make your value greater in your sight limit you further. So if you're trying to lose weight to make yourself better, which I have done many, many times, you are going to limit yourself further. Hide your worth from you and add another bar across the door that leads to true awareness of yourself. That's the thing. That's the thing for us to understand. If you're trying to add one cubit to your stature by accomplishing something in the world, let it go, because it will bite you on the tushy. It always does. Now, I have been on a journey with my body. That's why I did the Change Your Mind About Your Body program. Beautiful classes. You can get them now. All the recordings are available now. If you missed the opportunity to be in that class. And by the way, we have the quantum counseling right now. If you're a counselor, a therapist, or you're just really interested in learning how healing at the level of the mind actually works, we've got 16 Course in Miracles teachers sharing what they have learned about healing at the level of the mind, and especially in terms of working with clients. I'm loving this program. I'm loving what I'm hearing in the classes. We've got Gary Bernard, John Mundy, Bill Free, Lisa Natoli, Karen J. Gardner, Maria Felipe, Cindy Laura, Alan Cohen, Aaron Apke, Mark Anthony Lord, and more, and more. So come and join us if you like. We've only done, I think, 3 classes so far, so we still have 14 more to go. And you get the recordings, of course. I'd like to say here that one of the best lessons I learned in this wanting versus having was from my number one spiritual teacher. Her name is Venerable Dahani Awahu. I did an episode with her 10 years ago. And she's the only non-Course in Miracles teacher that I've ever invited as a guest. And she's a Native American and Cherokee and also a Buddhist teacher. And her website is beautywayproductions.com, beautywayproductions.com. And I first traveled with her, I think it was 2006. And I went to her hotel room. I was just across the hall from her. Went over to her room early in the morning. And I asked her, I said, hey, I'm going to go to the lobby. There's a Starbucks there. I'm going to get a coffee. Do you want a coffee? And she said, no, dear, thank you. I took a vow not to want anything. I took a vow not to want anything. So I quickly recalibrated in that moment. I heard what she was saying to me. And so I rephrased my question and I said, all right, would you like a coffee? Would you like anything? And she said, oh, yes, I'd love a cappuccino. What a beautiful lesson. It took mere seconds for me to get it. And as I continued to contemplate and ruminate that little exchange, I said, I'm going to take a vow not to want anything. I love that. I don't need to want anything. And what unfolded for me was the realization, seek first the kingdom, which is within. I already have it. If I'm wanting, then I must think I do not have it. And therein lies the rub, the pain, the suffering, and everything I do not want. Changed my life. It really did. So I practice that all the time. And I don't, I don't foment wanting anymore. All right, it's almost time for me to take a break, wrap this up. And I would just like to mention that in May, we have two live events in Scottsdale, Arizona. My counseling training intensive, it's a week-long training. It's open to anyone. Lawyers, accountants have taken it. Grandparents have taken it. All kinds of professions have taken it. Anybody can take it. It's a deep dive into opening your intuition, increasing your communication and relationship skills, while also learning counseling, which you can use in every relationship you have. And then I'm following that up back to back with my How to Create and Lead workshops that make a difference. So anybody who's interested in learning any of those skills, go to powerofloveministry.net. Book an exploratory call if you have questions. All right. We are grateful and thankful for the love of God that we already are. We're grateful for the kingdom of heaven pre-installed. Sharing the benefits with all, we let it be.